Welcome to episode 379 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and Laura. Traveling internationally looks a little different right now, but it's still worth it. We might even argue that it's a good time to travel because there are still reduced crowds and people in the tourism industry are happy to see travelers. Recently, Sandy and her husband were able to travel to Paris to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Congratulations. That's a long time.
It's a long time.
And she's very eager to tell us what it was really like. So let's get started.
Yay. So this was a different trip for us because mainly the big thing is we were piggybacking on my husband's work trip and not one of my work trips. So that is kind of what determined where we went and why we stayed in different places for different times. So, yeah. So basically, I don't know, what questions do you have?
Well, where'd you start?
So we started in a town called Fontainebleau, and it is about an hour away from Paris. We were with another person that works with my husband when we showed up. So he got the rental car and drove. And actually, that was a really smooth, easy process if you want to drive in France. There were some road signs that we didn't know what they meant. And we even asked French people and they couldn't really tell us what they meant. So I don't even know. Like the pull over the car is exploding sign. That was a little bit weird.
I've had that where we were driving in Germany and it's like, yeah, you sit there and Google the road signs, so you know what they are.
What is this? Yeah. Yeah. So it was a really cute little town that was for me a perfect starting point because this was my first time in France. People had told me, learn some French. Don't expect people to speak English, which, I totally get that. And I think that's great advice. But that was not totally the case for me. And people were pretty nice about speaking English to me once I said merci and bonjour. They could tell right away.
They heard that North Carolina merci.
Merci. Merci beaucoup. Yeah, and I, you know, and sometimes I'd mix it up with hola, and you know,
they probably understood that one too.
Yeah, they understood that you're American, and but it was a really awesome little town, and very walkable and really cool. And they were decorating it for Christmas while we were there. It was right after Thanksgiving that we left, so it was a cool area. I really liked Fontainebleau.
So this is your anniversary trip, but your husband was working. So did you just wander around by yourself while he was working? Yeah. Or
I did. It was
nice
cool.
Nice anniversary. Yeah.
I know. Well, so we showed up the first day and we had this other guy with us who was actually a client of mine as well. I booked his honeymoon and he told us about how they had a really fun time at this resort I sent them to in Mexico that, you know, they met this other couple that were like in their 50s. And so they just hung out with this old couple and pretended like they were their parents the whole time.
Oh, nice.
We were like, yeah, so that was nice. But yeah, we're like, don't call us mom and dad. That's not okay. But it was cool. The first day we kind of walked around looking for restaurants and bars and the other people there showed up. And so there was a lot of like hanging out, drinking, partying kind of stuff going on. And then they would drive to work and then I would just walk around and shop and, shop.
Oh, darn.
Have some coffee.
Did you eat? That's like a rough life to be.
What's that, Elizabeth?
Did you eat baked goods and cheese?
Yeah, I did. Oh my God. It was so good. Yeah.
Did I tell you? I told you.
And then we went out to dinner with like all the GE people one of the nights and that was phenomenal. I got this like huge seafood thing with, it had whelk, which are like snails, and it had oysters. It had like prawns. So good. And the people in that town were very, like, I could really tell that they hadn't had the tourism that they, you know, like it had been 2 years of this. And when we went, it was end of November, beginning of December. So it was before this new variant had come along and, you know, people weren't, it wasn't, I don't know. Right now we're in this surge where everybody is worried again. And this was before that surge. So it wasn't that bad.
Did you have taken rail there?
I did not take rail because the one guy had rented a car. So he drove us and I didn't really need a car during the day. You know, they drove back and forth to the plant that they were working at. Except for the last day I had to meet them all there because I needed a car. Yeah. They were like an hour away and they didn't want to drive back to Fontainebleau to get me. So I had to meet them at this little town so that where they were getting their COVID tests to go back to the US. And then Chris and I went on to Paris after that.
So what did you do? Did you take a taxi or did you rail?
No, I drove. I drove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've done rail in France and really enjoyed it.
What's that?
I've done rail in France and I really enjoyed it. Did you, how long was your longest taxi? Probably about.
We didn't really do any taxi. So Fontainebleau was about an hour from Charles de Gaulle, the airport. And I guess it was about, I don't know, maybe it was kind of a triangle the way I went back, but I met them in this other little town. And then the other guy drove us into Paris to our hotel. And then they all like stayed at the airport and flew home and we stayed a few more days. So the biggest thing in Fontainebleau though, that I want to mention is the chateau because you can actually get day trips from Paris to the Chateau de Fontainebleau. And it's really, really cool. It was, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. After the French Revolution, you know, they did all that to overthrow the monarchy. And then Napoleon set himself up as emperor. You know? And this was his palace home. Like it was still very elaborate. And, you know, it was interesting, the French history. But that was a really cool chateau. And I did the audio tour when I was walking around so I could see they have one room that has like Napoleon's tent that from when he was going out and doing these battles. And it fits inside this room, but it was humongous. And there's like pictures or I have some pictures of his like camping gear that just is so functional, but just so like so many little multi-tools and stuff. It was really cool. It was very interesting and pretty, even though it was winter. So, yeah. Yeah. And Christmas markets too.
So then you went to the big city. Where did you stay?
Yeah. So that was, I loved Paris. We were staying right off of the, I have a hard time saying this. Champs-Élysées. Yes. So yeah, that was interesting. And I was really glad I wasn't the one driving once we were in Paris because I didn't realize that the Arc de Triomphe was a big roundabout. There's a lot of roundabouts that are completely huge. And one of them, not that one, but the one before it, they were doing road construction and half of the exits were closed and it was just such a cluster. It was crazy. I didn't want to drive there. So we stayed at the Hotel de Berry off of the Champs-Élysées.
You don't even have to close your lips. Look, the French do not close their lips unless they absolutely have to.
So the hotel was amazing though.
You didn't keep your car in Paris, did you?
No, it wasn't our car.
Oh, okay.
So he dropped us off, went back and stayed. Like they went out in Paris that night, but we didn't see them again after that. And yeah, so we had some tours set up and stuff and some transfers. We didn't drive at all.
Okay. Smart. So,
yeah. And it was really walkable where we were. I mean, it was everything we needed, we could walk to. And actually, the show we did, we wanted to do Moulin Rouge, but it was sold out. So we did Le Lido, and that is on the Champs-Élysées. And so we could walk to it. That's when my shoes fell apart on the way back from there. So that was great.
So you're barefoot in Paris. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, basically. Aww. I couldn't even like lift my feet up because the glue in my shoes came apart and I had to shuffle my way home.
Yeah. Where did you stay, Sandy? What?
We stayed at it's a luxury collection resort, one or a hotel. It's under the Marriott umbrella called Hotel de Berry. And the thing that's really cool about the luxury collection is that they have local concierge that they speak English. They will help you set up. Like I had to send them things to print and they had tickets ready for me when I was there. And they helped us figure out like, you know, train schedules and things like that. So it was really, really cool. And in the bar, Elizabeth, you would have loved the bar. Lindsay, you would have too, because they were all about the craft cocktails. And the bartender came up to us and he's like, tell me what you like and I will make the special thing for you. And it will be what I serve you every time you come in. And
you know, oh, so, I love that.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really good.
I might stay there just for that next time.
You should. It was awesome. And then they had like the room before you go into the bar had all these casts of like different sculptures and stuff. And it's the same. It's not art from the Louvre, but it's the same casts. And they have art students that are learning how to make these casts. And that's what that was. So it was like stuff from kind of from the Louvre, not really from the Louvre, but and then when they took us up to our room, we were in like the entry level room and we had heated floors in the bathroom. We had this really cool shower bath combo that had aromatherapy, like stuff that you put in. I don't know. It was kind of, you had to mix it in and lift up the, I don't know. I had a hard time figuring out how to do this, but basically it mixed with the water and it was aromatherapy and it was really cool. And then we had a Japanese toilet, which kind of spoiled my husband and he thinks we need one of those now. So the best part of that about that was that the toilet seat itself was heated. So that was kind of nice.
But oh, we had those are nice.
Yeah, it was nice. There was an iPad that controlled everything, that, you know, the heated floors, the TV, the curtains, all that stuff. But our curtains opened by themselves at like 6 a.m. every day. And like, it didn't really wake us up because it wasn't, I don't know why it was doing that, but I was getting up to take a shower and I mentioned it to Chris and I was like, you know, he watches a lot of Ghost Hunters type shows. So I told him that the curtains were opening by themselves and that the hotel was probably haunted. And then I went into the bathroom and I heard him screaming. I came out and he was totally asleep and he was dreaming that like something was taking the covers off. And now we're going to see if he listens to the podcast.
He's like, you outed me.
I know, but I was like, did I hear a scream? What is he doing? Yeah.
I mean, if you're ever,
aren't you going on Virgin Voyages? Because they open there by themselves too. So that's a heads up.
Yeah, yes. They do open up there. The first time it happened to me, I was like, what? And then tried to go back out and come back in and recreate it. it took me a while to realize they only reset the room once a day.
Yeah, Chris isn't going on that one with me though. So it was good that we got to do the trip because we don't get to travel together a lot. So that was cool.
All right. So what else did you do? You certainly didn't just hang out and watch the curtains open and close, I hope.
Yeah, so I want to kind of circle back to Lolito because that was the 75th anniversary of the show. And it was, I mean, just to touch on it really briefly, it was a dinner show, but we didn't do the dinner. We only did the champagne. But it was interesting because it felt almost like going to dinner on a cruise, how, you know, like sometimes they sit you with different people and stuff. So we ended up at a table with another couple who were already there having dinner. And then we were sitting in the middle, like across from each other. And then there was two more seats and eventually two more people did come. And that was a little bit awkward and strange because we didn't even, I mean, they didn't try to talk to us. We didn't try to talk to them. It was, you know, but besides that, it was really cool. There were people like dancing. The pre-show was interesting because there was like a MC guy that was speaking in English, but the guy that was actually doing the music was always speaking in French, but all the music was like, you know, music that I knew and could understand. And, you know, so it was interesting. Like, I guess it's mainly for tourists, but I don't know. It was interesting. And then Chris didn't realize what kind of show it was going to be, so he was pleasantly surprised.
So he likes Ferris, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he liked it. It was funny because, I mean, you know, it was just, you know, boobs. So, yeah, he was surprised. He's like, what kind of show did you bring me to? I'm like, that's Ferris. But it was very French. It was so like feathers, can kicks. There was a mime that kept coming out. I mean, it was so French. It was, it was really cool.
Your husband is like Tom Mater going through.
No, he's not.
The Japanese toilet, the can girl.
Yeah, but my shoes were the ones that like fell apart.
Yeah. Did you guys do anything else? How long did you stay in Paris for?
We were only in Paris for 3 nights. So really we only had like one full day because that day we showed up, we didn't get to Paris till like 4 o'clock and we did Lolita that night. And then the next day we did a half day tour of Versailles, which was incredible. And I totally recommend doing that with a tour guide because, you know, he had another friend, another work person that was like, oh, don't bother. It's boring. I'm like, how is this boring? You know, what did you just do? Like breeze through the rooms? Because it was amazing.
Yeah. And our guide was like, good. There's like an extended tour of that you can do that has, you can see the gardens. You can mm-hmm. see Antoinette's apartment. Was it, what do they call it? The Petit Trianon?
I don't know. But we did see her, like her room that the public, like, you know, that people would see. But the, yeah, you might be talking
about. She has her own like private apartment.
Yeah.
And then there's gardens. And then they take you to, several of my clients have done, then they take you to eat on the river. It's a really nice tour.
That would probably be nice in the summer.
Ones and yeah, I was going to say, that would be a summer thing, though. In the winter, the gardens are pretty dead. I mean, they still actually look very manicured, but they're very dead.
It was pretty, but it was starting to rain, and it was cold. And Chris didn't even bother to walk into the garden. So basically, I ran out to the gardens, took a bunch of cool pictures, and then came back in. But it was, yeah, I loved Versailles. And he even agreed with me that he was so happy that we had the tour guide because she was really good. We ended up, we didn't pay for a private tour, but we were the only people that she was driving from Paris to Versailles. And so we got to ask her so I was asking her about Fontainebleau, you know, I was like, oh, tell me about the chateau. Why did you crown this emperor if you just had that revolution, you know? So, so it was really cool. And then there was another couple that did meet once we got there, but, you know, that was fine. It was, you know, so then when we came back to Paris, she was telling us, you know, she was driving through the city and we drove past the Eiffel Tower and she was kind of filling us in on some of the best places to actually take pictures of it without being totally underneath it. So that's what we did. We ended up walking back down there and doing some pictures of that.
So did you get on the Trocadero across the river to take the pictures? Did you do that?
We were across the river. There's like... It looked like a museum. I don't know what it was. There was a Christmas market right by it, but yeah, it was cool. And then we wanted to go to Notre Dame. Well, I wanted to go to Notre Dame, even though I know that it's under construction and stuff. But so we decided to do the train, thinking that the metro wouldn't be so bad. But the dude that gave us our metro tickets really steered us wrong and told us the wrong stop to get off. And so we ended up somewhere that was not Notre Dame. And not only that, but like it had to have the most steps of any like subway in Paris. And it was a spiral. So we like literally you thought you were about to come out of this thing and it was like more steps and we were dying. But we got to the top and there was a Christmas market there. So we got some wine and walked around the little town. It was a really cute little town. There was like, you know, graffiti artist stuff everywhere. It was really cool. So
what stop not even was good. It?
Huh?
What stop was it? Do you know?
So I posted a picture of the stop and it was like the Abbey or something like that. My, one of my friends commented that it was the metro stop from the movie Amelie. I can show you a picture of it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go look at it. I'm just curious where you ended up because
we were not in Notre Dame. In fact, I was looking at the map and I'm like, you know, you would think that Notre Dame would be here where it says Notre Dame, you know?
You would think that.
What was that?
But no.
So, yeah. So that happened. And then we ended up that night in a Irish pub, like right by our hotel. And that was really fun. We had
I can see Lindsay's face. Why were you in an Irish pub in Paris? Why'd you do that?
Because it was fun, Lindsay.
I don't even question it anymore.
Brexit blonde. It was real beer.
Lindsay and I went to an Irish pub in Bucharest. So, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Well, and then there was another couple that sat with us, and they were from Cambridge. They were delightful. So
Aww. That
was really fun. And then the next day I made Chris go to Disneyland. So that is why we did not have a whole lot of time in Paris, because we spent one whole day doing Disneyland. But we also had to get our COVID tests that day, because while we were there, the U.S. changed the law or the rule from 48 hours before to 24 hours before. So we had to wait till the Disney day. So yeah, like the COVID stuff was not that bad. If you did have to be vaccinated to go into most restaurants, the museums, the Versailles, you know, all that stuff, you had to show your vaccination card. What you really were supposed to do was go to a pharmacy and get a health pass. And that was about 30 euro. You go in and you give them your passport and your vaccination card, and they create this thing with a QR code. And that was what they were mostly looking for. Because apparently they can get fined if they don't ask for it. But most, like the other guys that were there with GE, were just showing their vaccination card, and that was.
So you did do the European health pass?
Yeah, I did, because I wanted to go to all the other places. They were only going to like lunch and dinner, you know. And Chris did it too, and we needed it at Disneyland. So yeah, and then
you'll be able to use that in the future too. You'll be able to use that when you go in March.
Well, no, that's France. I'm not going to be in France again.
Oh, it's not the European health pass? I thought it was good all over Europe. No, all over the EU?
If I had saved it, maybe I could tell you after I go to Europe again in March. But I don't know that. I don't think I still have it. I'm going to have to pay again. Check. So. All right. But it was.
Well, I checked that station for you. It's the ABBESSES, a basis. That was the train.
Where is it?
It says 22 Rue d'Abbesses, 7508 Paris, France.
It's like, you know how Notre Dame is, I guess, kind of like a little island? It's beyond that.
Yes.
It's not near Notre Dame. You would think someone from Paris would know that. I think he was messing with us.
I'm just curious where he sent you. Like, because, well, and keep in mind, there's a lot of churches called Notre Dame. I mean,
really?
Yes.
Really?
But obviously you would know that if you're an American wanting to see Notre Dame, there's one that you want to see. But yes, there are.
Looks like it's closer to Montmartre.
I was like, is it in Montmartre? Because the street art and everything.
Yes, it is. That's where it is, in Montmartre.
I don't think he did you a disservice. I think he decided that you would be better off seeing Montmartre.
Yeah, that could be true. He probably figured we would take the elevator instead of just trying to walk up the steps. We didn't know there were 50 million steps.
That's actually, Montmartre is where, you remember my friend Terry, now that we're doing this podcast for everybody, we'll just talk about our friends. She lives in Paris now. Well, she lives just outside of Paris. And I met her when we went as a family, and we met at this restaurant in Montmartre that my sister had recommended by a friend of hers, that, and the description was touristy but fun. And it's a fondue restaurant, and they serve you wine out of baby bottles. So you're like drinking your wine through a baby bottle.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really, but there were a lot of steps because Montmartre is on a hill. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of Paris.
Yeah.
Montmartre.
It was cool. We were not sad that we were there. And then we got the, you know, the mulled wine at the Christmas market. And I really wanted to see some Christmas markets. So I was happy to do that. Yeah.
So how was Disneyland?
I loved Disneyland. They had a Christmas market in Disneyland over in the studios over by Ratatouille. There was the mulled wine. There was the raclette. There was, all the stuff. It was awesome. We did pay for the lightning lane just because we didn't want to wait in line. You know, like Chris had just about had it. And
well, if you're only there for one day, it might be worth it. Yeah.
Well, and there were only two of us. And, you know, honestly, I just wanted to see as much as I could. And we did. So we did the lightning lane for the Ratatouille ride. We did it for the Tower of Terror, and we did it for the Hyperspace Mountain, which was phenomenal.
So you're saying Lightning Lane, have they switched to a pay per ride there, or is it the, okay, they have.
They tested it there. Yeah, that's where it came out first. Yeah, I didn't get to ride the Turtle Crush one.
Was it down?
Did not have a Lightning Lane. Yeah, and it had a long line.
Yeah,
I bet. So we missed out on that one. The Tower of Terror, have you guys done that one there?
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
I think I did.
It's got a creepy little kid, and it talks in English and French, and it's like, oh, I told you not to do this.
really funny. The Haunted Mansion is weird, too.
The Haunted Mansion is a little unusual.
Very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, we did the Haunted Mansion. Jack Skellington was outside of the Haunted Mansion in his he talks, and it was really cool because he's multilingual, so like whoever the handler was would talk to you first and while he's with the other people, and then whenever it's your turn, you know, the handler would say something and then he would just start speaking like French or English, or I feel like there was another language in there too that I was like, it's amazing. Yeah, that was really cool.
Hyperspace Mountain was so good. It ruined you for all the other space.
yeah, it's nothing like the other Space Mountains. And it's got the Star Wars thing going on. But that shooting you out of a cannon, that was really crazy. And I was in awe that entire ride. I'm like, that was worth the money. That was so cool. And Chris loved it too. It was really good.
Did you stay on property there?
No, we went back. We took the train.
Okay, just went for the day.
Yeah, yeah. And that was not bad. That was, you know, pretty easy ride. It was about an hour, I'd say. Maybe a little more.
You didn't wind up somewhere else. There weren't stairs.
Yeah, because we asked the hotel concierge this time.
And the nice thing about that line is it ends at Disneyland. It's like the line ends and you get up, you go up the stairs. It's like, oh, I'm at Disneyland. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has a little mouse on the sign too. So.
Yeah. So you didn't end up at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been hilarious. Oh,
they should put like a gargoyle on that one, you know, so where you're going.
Yeah, and that is it. Still, it's about $12.50 each way per person. Is that about?
I think I honestly don't remember because we bought it at the same time that we bought the other, and then we also didn't buy round trip. I thought we bought round trip, but then we had to go buy like our tickets home. But yeah, something like that. Like, it wasn't bad. I think it's probably definitely a lot cheaper than if you'd paid for a transfer, you know.
So the train's definitely the way to go.
I mean, the train was easy. It was not hard to get, you know, once you got out of Paris, the crowds got a lot thinner and you really do get off the train and you walk up the stairs and you're there, you know. Yeah.
Long as you have a good concierge to get you there, it's pretty easy. I will say, pro tip, you know, and it's closer to the airport than Paris, than central Paris is. It's actually on the side of Paris that the airport is on, so it's not a bad way to end a trip if you want to stay out there and then catch your flight the next morning. It's actually it could be worth it. It's only about half an hour from the airport. You avoid a lot of traffic.
I stayed out on property, but then took the train back in. I was just trying to remember because I remember I did a car service one way as I was moving hotels. But I did like the ease of the train to make it. Now, were they doing temperature checks?
So we had to show our vaccination card. I don't remember them doing temperature checks. I feel like they were not doing that anymore. Yeah.
The thing about
so many places have those machines they can be, that you just walk through.
Yeah, they can be invisible. You don't notice them because they're zapping everybody. So.
The line I remember standing.
Did you eat escargot in Paris?
No, but I did eat the whelk at that other restaurant. No, we had a lot of bread and cheese. I don't think I had any wine besides the champagne at Lolita.
How do you go to France and not have any wine?
I don't drink wine.
You will if you have French wine.
Well, yeah, like how do you? Yeah.
They don't have Milk Ultra in Paris.
Yeah. No. So it was funny because the last night we were in Fontainebleau, all the other GE people went out to eat with all the whatever, I can't remember what the company is that they, Safran is the company there. And they, like, Chris got out of it. And I was like, well, do you want to go with them? I mean, you know, like, it'd probably be fancy, you know? And he's like, no, we don't. So we went and had our own meal, and he was texting his friends, and they were there forever. And they had like so many courses, and the guy's like, you know, they just brought a baby cow head out, and, and this woman beside me just ate like all the baby cow head. And Chris was like, yeah, I'm glad we didn't go.
There's trying new things, and then there's culture shock.
I do love that, like, that whole that immediate culture shock, especially he's with a group of guys on a work trip.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
aren't used to that, where a meal is an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to like drink. Well, and then they were like, I guess everybody was drinking slow, and they wanted more beer, but they were still drinking, you know, like the having the wine, and you know, yeah. I will say though, like, you know, you sit at these tables and you're not far from other people, and those French women are skinny, but they lap up like every bit of that creamy sauce with bread. And you know, I'm like, how are you eating like this?
They walk a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Chocolate filled pastries every morning for breakfast. I probably ate more pastries and cheese and fatty foods that I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Yeah, Finley gets so mad. He'll eat some cheese there, and he's like, why is it so good? It's not fair. Why don't we have this cheese? He's like, it's just cheese. And he's not wrong. I mean,
there's reasons. It's
honestly, it's because it's unpasteurized.
I know, exactly. And
I get so frustrated about that, too, because you can go to the crappiest little sandwich shop in a train station or the airport in France, anywhere in France, where it should taste like junk. And the bread is like fresh, and the cheese is fresh and local.
And the coffee, man, we came home and bought an espresso machine for Christmas.
you posted that, and I cannot, but I'm going to just use the podcast to say that I cannot believe you did that. They are so bad for the environment. It is so against everything that you believe in.
Wait. I have already bought the reusable pods.
Okay.
I haven't used them yet, but you know, I don't drink that coffee every day. Like I do like my regular coffee, because I do drink a lot of coffee, but I bought these really cute espresso cups that are Mickey shaped. They're so cute.
Oh my God.
I know, Elizabeth, because I'm so against K-cups, but these are more recyclable than K-cups, but also I bought the thing that you can reuse it. And that's who makes
the espresso, right?
Huh?
Nestle.
You know who makes Nespresso, right?
Nestle. George Clooney.
Nestle.
Nestle.
They're not really known for their humane
right.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Don't ruin my coffee for me.
I bought one and I got rid of it because sorry to out you on public podcasting, but yeah, I couldn't believe it when you posted that you bought one. I was like, what?
Yeah, but I remember you saying you had one. Why didn't you tell me?
I got rid of it. Okay.
Just I kind of don't want to know.
Long ago and far away when I was a teenager, so it was really long ago and far away, and my dad was traveling to France all the time. He would, and this is before, you know, it's like you can only bring something this big back on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
He would bring home like shopping bags full of brie. Mm-hmm. And he'd have like one shopping bag. There would be like no souvenirs for anybody. That was a souvenir. And my dad would probably bring 15 wheels of brie. And all full of brie, and then one would be full of gorgonzola dolce, which is like brie with runs of gorgonzola through it.
Yep.
Then my parents would freeze it and pull them out one at a time. And we would try and time it just when he was going back to France again.
They won't let you bring that back anymore. That's the thing. You can't bring cheese back. And that's the other thing that makes Finn so
cheese
angry.
And meat. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so sad, so sad. And honestly, I wasn't a coffee drinker most of my life. And Chris and I went back to Germany right after I became a travel agent, about 2 years after I became a travel agent. That was my first time back to Europe since I'd gotten married, which had been a while. And then I had converted to being a coffee drinker, and oh my gosh, I was like, I can't believe that I've been to Europe this many times and I've never had this coffee. Like, if I had had coffee in Europe, I probably would have been a coffee drinker much earlier than I became one.
Is it French press or is it some other kind of coffee?
I mean, just having it from a coffee shop, we were in Germany, but it was Italian coffee, usually Lavazza or whatever, which you can find now, but I just didn't know. And you couldn't find, when I was a kid, you couldn't find Lavazza coffee anywhere here, yeah, it was one of those things where my eyes were opened to the wonders of Europe through coffee. I didn't even realize that was something that I would need.
The other thing I loved, Montmartre is my favorite part of Paris, and I must have, everybody else would go to these, historical places. I just wanted to go sit in Montmartre. It was kind of like, like Woodstock, hippie, authentic. I just wanted to be there and be in it. But I love, the other thing I loved is I would get out early in the morning and I love seeing people walking home with a baguette over their shoulder. No, there's no bag, no nothing, just the baguette over their shoulder. And then again at lunchtime, the baguettes over their shoulder. Oh.
I had a picture of a girl riding a bike with the baguette in the basket of her bike. I was like, that's so French.
Lindsay, what are you trying to say? Lindsay, I think you're
You're on mute,
muted.
Lindsay.
Lindsay, you're muted.
Oh, like there's nothing more quintessentially French than that baguette, than that. It's seeing someone do the shopping for the day because they don't shop for like a month there. They shop for what they're getting. What are we making today? Oh, I'm going to the market today to get my food for tonight. So everything's super fresh and they don't have a giant kitchen with a refrigerator you could put bodies in. This is a
Yeah.
different.
And in Fontainebleau, there was like this one street I went down, there was a fishmonger there, and there were people standing in line for the bakeries, and yeah, it was really cool.
And
I've
did you
turned
have
into a
croissant
weirdo.
in France, in Paris?
Oh yeah, we had croissants. Yeah.
You never
I've
go
turned
to
into
Sam's again, will you?
the weirdest, yeah, the weirdest tourist when I travel because I want to go to all the grocery stores and I want to bring home whatever I can, if there's some place in the airport. It's really a shame that we can't bring home, like there isn't a cheese store at Charles de Gaulle the way that there is
Amsterdam.
in Amsterdam, yeah, that
Yeah,
we
the
can't
hard
just
cheeses can
together.
come home. It's those soft cheeses that can't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
We did
so
bring
hard.
home some macarons. Those were good.
Oh, the macaron cookies.
Yeah.
You didn't invite me over? I'm sad.
I mean, they don't keep for a long time, you know?
I could have come over that day.
I know, right? Okay, next time. I'll bring you home some next time. Yeah.
Right.
They were good.
Better bring me some in the end of the month.
Well, that's our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Laura, Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.